getting into those riparian areas. And as the record says, these cows were, when the midnight ceased, the road was identifying the damage caused by the cloud of cows was leaving these riparian zones in degraded condition. There was an environmental assessment appraising on the roadside in 1996 that found that the degree of unauthorized use by cloud of cows over the ridges of the McDonald Basin area were threatening the viability of the rare howless cows, which has few populations left anywhere in the world. And at ER 298, the environmental assessment looks at the impacts of special interest areas, the biological protected areas on the climate side, and it notes that the cows will move through these areas of very, very loose soil where most of the endemic plants that are of concern in the forest live. These are not forage plants, these aren't grasses. So the cows don't move, but they move through there as they're moving from the climate side over into the road of the forest.
So about the numbers, confusing numbers. I can only depress that the cliff side of 2009 have a reasonable period. In the rest of the year, it seems to be just 30 cows in a whole year. There are people across that might get low or actually so much too much. You can't hear those cows come on cause. But you're going to have to have the trader or that small or just get a close use.
There's really no evidence that 2009 was an aberration. It was the highest number of cows that had ever been documented, over 200. If you look at ER 182 and 84, and the subsequent end year numbers in 378 and 379, then in 2010, there were at least 61 cows that were in the road for us that were finding cows. And in other instances where there weren't cows, there's an assertion that 2009 was an unusually dry year. That is not in the record anywhere. The record shows that there's been a drought in this area for probably the last 15 years. 61 plus a couple of other instances where they weren't able to, but they didn't have been inferred. Now, the decision was from December of 2010, so the 2010 was. Efforts that were being made to reduce over the years because of the stress range management strategy that started in 1994 and essentially been sunk in the new decision will be effect when that peak occurs. So it's not a fact that the number of cows trespassing has been reduced.
As we did before, there was a danger before 2000.
In 1991, there were between 50 and 150. The highest that I can find in the record was 100. It was somewhere between 50 and 150 in 1991, even before the beginning of the environmental assessment. There was an
adjustment.
There is other data. I think the important point is, and I would say also, in ER181, there's evidence that even 15 cows or even 2 cows proceeded to erupt the urine area and cause damage and cause it to not be able to recover. Most importantly, the continuous number of cows that have been trespassing onto the road for the last 15 years was kept. Those areas on the roads are close to the road of disease. The damage is still so substantial, the recovery cannot occur because even a small number of cows were causing enough damage. The road couldn't reopen those areas to its own chronic disease for grazing. The more fundamental point here is none of this data is in the environmental assessment or the rangeland specialist report. There's no figures given as to the number of cows that have trespassed. The information that's readily available from the field studies in 2007 to 2009, the memorandum that the road wrote to the Siskiyou climate in 2002, the earlier environmental assessments that showed the significant damage on the roadside,
the plan that was adopted essentially says, but that's the plus point, right? And I don't know that we took those tests on the ground, making sure the money did that. It's not actually a problem. But that's the plan that is these sort of self-defining legal to eliminate the impact.
Well, I think that's the intention with the obligation under NEPA, that when, as they have here, is defining no significant impact based on the mitigation steps that they're planning to take.
But I don't know if you can have these with regard to the plan you're adopting. What we're planning to do is not going to have any significant growth. And they're saying that we are going to do these things which should, by 2013, reduce the previous issue number. And if it doesn't, these are labels. Is that what you're saying? So why isn't that a definition for not to make the impact?
Because they still would have to show that the mitigation is going to be effective. The cases such as the National Parks and Conservation Association impact case, when you rely on mitigation to be providing no significant impact, you have to have an evaluation of why it's
going to be. Well, you're calling it mitigation, you're calling it your plan, right? I'm not sure why it's mitigation. The problem is that you have to have that there's possible damage, but then quite a damage that we could stop. The entire business becomes better.
Essentially the same as the one they had before, and for 15 years before the six years. There was an annual operating instruction in 2009 that required the permittee to check for cows on the road every 2 weeks. The cumulative impact analysis does not put any effects on the road course, so it's not evaluating the amount of damage that the cattle cows are causing on the road, but adding to the other impacts that are existing within the area affected by the grazing. If there are impacts from logging, for example, in this area, there are impacts from off-road vehicles. There's even impacts from pet stock that are getting up into these areas. And so the damage to the road that the cows are causing on the roadside needs to be evaluated in the context of the other damage that's occurring in the area. Not an even straight record, but that may be a function of the fact that they can evaluate beyond order of things. It wasn't, and there are scattered statements in the record about other impacts. The same cumulative impacts that are present on the climate side would presumably be also on the roadside if they looked at it. Just very briefly on the information, this is a situation where a site-specific action has to be consistent with the forest plan. And here, the forest plan only found 3,385 acres of land suitable for grazing. But the commission regulation,
what you're saying is that because it's all suitable for grazing, it's an investigative graze with the most open money. So, when we say they can graze 48,000 acres, they're not sure they graze 48,000 acres, it's just the graze.
But we mean 24,000 acres that are unsuitable by definition. That's areas where grazing through that area where there's no grass to the cows are moving back and forth is going to cause damage. It'll result in substantial permanent impairment. And so it's arbitrary and capricious to authorize grazing on 48,000 acres, not only 3,000 acres of simple, but no proposition of rationale. And it's just the error of the district court was to supply the rationale the agency itself had.
May it please the court. I'm Helen King, representing the Forest Service and federal officials this morning. Before I specifically address some of the issues that the plaintiffs have raised today, I wanted to just make a couple points that I think are really important. First, this case concerns the reauthorization of livestock grazing in public lands that have been continuously raised for over a century, with one or a couple of substantive changes. And the only substantive changes are that there's an additional resource protection measures and mitigation measures. So that is the only change here.
Prior to turning on the city that was not in the way of this decision.
district court said that those times the crime issues were dangerous or wasn't the crime issues. I think you can say anything that's made absolutely in that. I guess this is the trick question to ask. I'm going to ask you to be here and I'm here to do it. If you read it as a whole and you correct me, actually, it does state how many of the level of the grade that it would be the same. If you look at
there's no description.
period of exploitation of money or anything, any impact of themselves in the world funds.
And the reason why that is first of all, when you look at the, first of all, let me just make this very clear about that. When you look at the time they're over there, if they're in the same sense, there's no impact of this calculation of the world. Because they're there for a very short period of time, and their permittees have been compliant in getting them back when they do drift. So that's one point I wanted to make. The second point is that for a long time, since the 1990s, when drift was happening even more than it is now, it's substantially been reduced. But that we have asked, or the claimants have asked the borough, whether or not for some quantitative on the environmental impact of the borough. Sure, there's numbers about the drift, but the clear fact that there's just numbers of the cattle doesn't mean that there is adverse environmental impact here. And if you look in, there's a number of places where the claimant did request information from the role it was not provided. It goes back into both the rangeland and the
question. I wonder what was the allegation there? If there's an impact outside of the physical confines of an area of just being covered by the plan, is there an obligation to do something other than to actually do the environmental investigation? Or is he final authority of the environment?
Well, in this case, the agency had determined that there was no minimal impact, such as to talk about getting information.
And they did ask it from the secretary, they asked for information and didn't get it. I mean, the only basis for saying there's no monthly gatherings is there were different accounts. But actually going over there and looking to see what's happening, there's no representation of that stuff. And I asked if that happened with you in general.
Well, during that time period, no, but they have an obligation to figure out whether or not the impact of the drift cattle are on the road. And I believe that they did that by figuring out how often that the drift happened. And as Judge Schwartz said, some of this information that was provided about the adverse impact was not environmental impact, but it was based on the fact that it's not even clear if they were the row cows, the Klamath cows, and lots of, there is no information to show that there's actually adverse environmental effects. In fact, I think
I have holes for news the lack of information as for context. If there is adequate information to know, you know there's cows not over there, you know that cows can cause problems. So my whole burden is the lack of information. Is there some obligation to find out how many cows are? What can we do with West Coast on the ground? Are the rare flowers that big cattle? Or did they simply ask the other bars to make up an answer? Say, I'm going to answer.
Well, I think that they first start out to the first town to have the other forest because this is their forest and they don't think here. I think it's really important to know that the Grove did not object to the project at all, did not indicate that there are any adverse environmental effects or likely to have any adverse environmental effects of the row of the cattle drifting to the row. And therefore, focuses more on the fact that there is no data. There's no quantitative data that shows that there's actually adverse environmental effects.
I think it's more of a choice why you're doing something that a legal statement is to find the information. So that's what's bothering me. You're saying there's no project based on this almost look like quantitative.
But, Your Honor, they did try to look for it, and they found that as you know information,
there's a package that had to be the forest, but not the co-care themselves to say what's going on.
they have that information, but that's why we're doing the monitoring right now. To see, first of all, if there are any cattle that drift from the boat, from the China to the boat. And so there, and the fact is that there are issues that, if you look at the record, you can see that they weren't even doing any monitoring over the road in the state adverse environmental effects during the time period of the 1990s. Anyway,
wasn't there someone from the road who had to inform the chief board and have some information at the beginning of the road? He was involved in this.
There was the district ranger from the road, and they said that the report that the plaintiffs are primarily relying upon does not represent the position of the book. And therefore, and in any event, those are
all of that information that the district has not
Well, first of all, there's two things. The damage that they contemplate that is based on individual information, and it's also based on observations that are not based on scientific protocols, or, for example, they include photos of the area that we don't know if they're the rogue cows or if they're the wild cows. We don't know if they're use their land and therefore it reduces the time that the foraging is available to the rogue cows. That's what they were concerned about. There is nothing that talks about the environmental damage, which is the first environmental effect, and more on the actions that you should use to expect of us being concerned about. And there is nothing that talks about the environmental damage. It could be that there is no environmental damage or not, and certainly not any that rises to a significant amount of demand proposition, Your Honor. Is that clear in the the forest itself, the road, is saying that there is no adverse environmental impact. They're saying, well, there is no information, you're right, Your Honor. What they're saying is that again, that this is a permit management issue, that when they talk about resource concern, they're actually talking about the fact that cows go over from the climate and eat the forage. And so how it looks doesn't make it so that the loan properties would not be able to have their cows be used to use that land. That's not.
To answer your question, yes, Your Honor, there is information that the climate from the road of the damage that was being caused in 2007, 2008, 2009, their entire argument depends on inserting the word quantitative before actually what information is available. But this court said that qualitative information has to be disclosed in the analysis. In fact, even anecdotal information cannot be rejected. That's an Arkham's legal systems compliance case. So the information was available. The volunteer reports that he cited at pages 178 to 211 of the administrative record. There's evidence that pages 358 and 373 of the administrative data, the excerpts of record, that those data were in the hands of the climate forest, and yet they didn't disclose them in the hand. It goes to the fundamental problem with the environmental assessment. There's no disclosure of the numbers of cows that have trespassed over the years. There's no disclosure of all of the evidence from the mid-90s and early 2000s at ER 554, complaints about the resource damage that was being caused. None of that is disclosed in the environmental assessment. There's also a real quick thing to point you to, ER 360, where the relevant range management specialists from the road did issue with the OMEA and said it was not noted to discuss the impacts on the road forest resources and properties. It's not just about the properties impacts. It's the problem in the red parish areas that are still closed to road properties after all of these decades. The conclusory statement of minimal impacts is not supported by data. This is the quintessential general statement of possible effects and some risk that this court has repeatedly found does not satisfy the Hartmann standard. Thank you very much.
Thank you.